Indigenous Business Australia is on track to achieve the strategy towards 2028 after 1 year since launched. The strategy set out a clear path to deliver financial inclusion and economic empowerment with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And to discuss these findings, I'm joined by Eddie Fry, IBA Chair. Welcome to Night TV Radio, Eddie.
Thank you very much, Bertram. It's a pleasure to have a chat with you this morning.
The strategy set out to build capability, knowledge, and networks, and it's achieved its goals 1 year since launched. Take us through the strategy and the different components of this strategy.
The strategy to 2028 is broken down into four areas. It plans to, one, support more than 10,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across all of our activities through four primary goals. One is choice, inclusion, prosperity, and excellence. What it means in each of them, we'll begin with choice. It means to offer as many options as we can and provide access, basically the money, financial knowledge, and network. We then believe the second component of the strategy centres around inclusion. It means focusing on financial and economic inclusion and expanding the breadth and depth of our impact by building capacity and engagement. The third aspect is around prosperity. Means to champion intergenerational wealth and ownership. And the final part to this is centered on a level of excellence. It means that we'll continue to provide and work to provide excellent customer service and expanding our impact through partnership and collaboration. Investing in these areas, we will look to continue to achieve positive impact, particularly around economic, social, environmental, and cultural impact for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
It was launched about a year ago with these achievements. It sounds that the strategy must have been a long time in the making. Also, it sounds the strategy encompasses so many areas.
We've had a very good result in the first year of the strategy, but IBA has been on a reconfiguration pathway. It is a core portfolio agent. We've made every attempt to put it on a steady growth trajectory. And to give you some idea of that, we started this back in 2015, and that it's landed a distribution around a steady growth strategy, which leads to this 2028 strategy that has contributed to our consolidated total assets now exceeding $2 billion. Now, what it means is we've had a remarkable increase from around $1.5 billion just 5 years ago. So over the past 5 years, we have deployed and distributed $973 million through 2,156 home loans and $287 million through 1,220 business finance to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Now, our plan is to expand on that. We are capital restrained and we are looking to use our now quite healthy and strong balance sheet to convince the government to change the legislation to allow us to leverage off the balance sheet by borrowing. What that means is that as we look into the past year, as an example, we are on track to achieving the strategy for 2020. And after 1 year since launching it, we've delivered a fairly healthy distribution around economic empowerment for our clients. So this is broken. The total sum is $355 million distributed in capital and capability development support as at June 30, 2024. So that's only 1 year in. Now, out of, when you break that down, 227 went to approved home loans, 73 million into approved visitor finance, 53 million into co-investment, contribution of capital distributed by the owner. And we've also invested into external business support, and we've delivered and deployed 2 million into that, and 9 million into Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander procurement, so into small to medium-sized enterprises doing work for IBA. And we've also spent in excess of $676,000 in partnership with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations. We look forward to working very much with the new minister, the Senator Honourable Malandiri Pathathi, and indeed developing the commitments the Prime Minister Arthur Garman about boosting the investment, borrowing, and lending power of IBA. That's about comes out.
Really tremendous achievements and building capacity and financing so many projects and individuals, because you're there not just to support businesses, but families have also been supported.
Absolutely. I think, Bertrand, the remit of IBA, and we'll financially think primarily as an equity partner through home loans and businesses and business lending and business support, and we also have two other platforms where Aboriginal organisations co-invest with us, and that is the Indigenous Prosperity Fund and the Real Estate Investment Trust. The sum total of both of those is roughly around $380 million, thereabouts. And about 50% of both of those two settings are owned by Aboriginal organisations. The fund is managed by the large Yana Group. Normally, they wouldn't deal with this size fund because we're basically too small, but it's their commitment to assist us in our clients, and particularly in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations who have a good investment mandate, which is conservative, but it's a steady state growth. On the real estate investment trust, the same applies. We've got very capable industry specific people that advise us from that, and the returns are they're good.
It says that the strategy is a roadmap for growth and empowerment. Are there any areas that you're finding proving a little bit harder than others to progress in? Because you've outlined areas of tremendous success. Are there any areas where you're finding progress is a bit slower than other areas?
If it's progress slowing us down, it's more, I think, that over the last 9 years, we've had to spend a lot of time doing, in simple terms, what we call a financial restructuring of the organisation. And that makes it attractive to, you know, other funds, large banking groups. We're not so much of a risk to them, and we have a sound business model. Marketing, in a corporate sense, I think has been difficult.
Yeah.
I think this has occurred because, by and large, most people don't see much evidence of the value of the Indigenous estate. Now, I think in later years, in say the last 2 to 3 years, people have, that is, organisations and other institutions, have suddenly realised that the Indigenous estate is very large.
Yeah.
So people may know that I co-chaired ILSC and IBA at the same time, commencing in 2015. And the plan was to rig and figure both, but to get a very good understanding of what the market was for them. So in ILSC sense, we had to change the act to get water built back in. We did that, and we had to change the fund management and to put that into the future fund. And that's a story in itself. But that's growing, and that's in excess of now 2.18, or close to 2.2 billion. And it pays the ILSC a stipend in a year, and its sole purpose is to buy land.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because land and equity are really, really, really important.
One of the things you did there, and this is to understand Indigenous estate and where RBA can be seen as a significant financial equity partner. We did some mapping, that is the cadastral mapping, and it was done by a person by the name of Dr. Rosemary Lott, who worked for Funds and Resources, I believe. And she arrived at a figure somewhere around 1 million square kilometres of the land was in Aboriginal interest, ownership, leasing, and another part is the legislative arrangement. And it totaled that number. Yeah. So when you look at that and you look at land in itself, water, and everything that can be derived from it, it's bigger than a number of European countries already.
Wow.
And it has a mandate for the next 100 years, this is the ILSC, to just continue buying. So you need this body, like the IPA, be its equity partner, that is for Indigenous groups, to yield these assets. There's a number of things that you have to understand about that. If you look at the 2021 census, and there's only 821,000 of this landmass, we need trusted partners to develop this.
Yeah.
So the co-op, just like the wheat board, the barley board, but on a whole range of financial and economic opportunities within the tertiary, secondary, and primary sector.
Yeah.
Now, breaking those down into various industries is difficult. We only have close to probably 250 people working for IBA. We've had a massive reconfiguration inside the organisation. We've gone from what I call analog structure to now almost fully digital platform. Our people have adjusted very, very well. But when you make these changes and you seek these changes, everybody's got to buy in. The IBA staff in particular has had to continue working with its clients, its market, and managing its office, and at the same time adjusting to this new structure, this new way of doing business. Those who I believe have, you know, stayed the course, it's going to all go well for us into the future.
And it's also said you're doing something that's an aspiration for many organizations. It's the launching of an environmental, social and governance strategy later this year.
Yes, that's right. Well, it's about, in very simple terms, doing the right thing all the time, every time, around environment, your social obligations and your commitment and maintenance of proper governance, and that everything is done and decided upon through evidence, and importantly, through a rules-based order. By doing that, particularly with our clients, it minimises and moves away personalised or self-interest to a more cohesive, structured and wholesome arrangement between the parties involved on whatever the subject matter is.
Eddie Fry, Chairperson, Indigenous Business Australia, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on ITV Radio today about Indigenous Successful Strategy 1 year on.
Thank you, Bertrand.